All right, ready?
Yes.
Fold your arms, bow your heads.
From beyond any known galaxy, bringing with them the laws and ideals of their doomed planet, Thundera, come...
Thundercats. Ho. Welcome, everybody, to episode 39 of the Thundercats, the podcast for friend feeders, with friend feeders, and by friend feeders. I'm Josh Haley from Houston, Texas.
I'm Johnny Wellington from Brisbane, Australia.
And we are the Thundercats. Ho.
Ho.
Well, that only took four tries, but we finally got the show kicked off.
You know how you watch the rally car racing, and then they're racing through like the mountains of Greece, and they go round those big tight bends next to the cliffs. Your back wheel was hanging over the edge, but sir, you drove through and you got it back on the road. Well done.
It takes Bene Gesserit training, which I have none. So, how's your week there, pal?
Yeah.
Buddy, not old too pal.
Bad. Nice and busy. Getting back in the swing of things after last week, had the conference in Hobart.
By conference, you mean business party hardy all day, all night kind of thing. Maybe like 30-minute presentation and then 23 and a half hours of partying.
I did some work. If getting up is counted as work, yeah, well then. I think that's all I had to do. I just had to show up.
So, I love those business trips.
It was very good. Very, very tiring as well.
Oh, geez. Yeah. So you think you've semi-recovered?
Yeah. It's just the whole traveling, being away from the family, out of your routine, that type of thing. But I'm all good now. I'm back in the swing of things.
Good.
How about you, sir? I believe you had a few... festivities during the week?
Yeah, we had my son's birthday yesterday. He is 10 years old. I can't believe it. I remember when he was born, it was like 10 minutes after midnight one night. It was crazy. And that was after a day's worth of labor for poor Trish. In fact, true story here, when he was just about to come into the world, you know, we were sleeping, and then it was like 2 in the morning or something, 2:30 in the morning, and Trish woke up and her water broke. And she just woke me up, and I'm like, oh, what is it time? Oh, you know. And then she's all getting ready and getting her bags ready and everything, and I totally fell back asleep. I totally like just fell back asleep, and she was so pissed. I mean, when she woke me up the second time, oh man, I was scared for my life. So that was tough. But anyway, we made it to the hospital. Everything was fine, and Zach is now 10, and he. His iPod thing that he got, he's like, okay, that's cool, but it's just sitting around charging while he's playing with a DS game that I got him yesterday. It's the Pokemon Ultimate Awesomeness, whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. Platinum. Anyway, it's a big deal for those kids. I don't really mess with the DS much.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday festivities, we blew up a bunch of balloons. They're still around. And here we are podcasting. So we should probably get to it.
Yes, please do.
There's only so much of our private lives that people actually give a damn about. And even that's being, you know, generous, I guess. So let's get a serious topic out of the way first, shall we?
Indeed.
There has been... reports. There have been reports from a couple of friend feeders about child pornography showing up in their feeds on friend feed. Now, of course, when something shows up in your feed, it's not necessarily because you're subscribed to somebody. It can also be friend of a friend, and so
by association, yeah,
right. So that kind of thing, you know, it unfortunately does happen unless you really tighten down your feed, and as we all know, that kind of thing is illegal and not to mention just wrong. Mm-hmm. And just having that on your screen, whether you're at work or home or whatever, is technically illegal. And so people are like really, you know, trying to come down on it and trying to say, you know, hey, we got a friend feed, help us stop this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have no idea what the official response is from FriendFeed, but that is what's going on. So, I mean, we're just here to report what's going on FriendFeed. That's been going on. So people have seen that. Please report it to FriendFeed if you see any more of that. Chatroom says that there was a particular account that was deleted by FriendFeed. And so they are taking action. So that's good. That's about it.
Can I offer some thoughts on the subject?
Yes.
The first thing of all is that I'm going to say it is completely wrong, absolutely 100% wrong in all facets. So just get that out of the way. Because what I'm going to say next is with FriendFeed, I believe it is under the jurisdiction of US law. So if something is illegal, because we have to be very careful that we make sure that we're talking about illegal things, not immoral things. Because that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
From a censorship type of point. So I have heard rumors and I have had experience in the past where in certain countries around the world, certain activities or certain type of content featuring people of certain ages is not considered illegal where it would be considered illegal in America.
Right.
Okay? So There's that issue that everyone sort of has to understand. No, we're operating under U.S. law, so someone from country X who there may be, I don't know, just say there's a photo of a girl underage naked in a sexually provocative manner, that may be completely legitimate and legal in their country, but in the States it would be bad. So there's that to consider about like where we go for, we have to make sure that we define the legalities of the whole situation. Also, too, I really feel sorry for FriendFeed, the actual people at FriendFeed that have to do this, because a lot of people have been suggesting we have a reporting button or we have some way of flagging an account to show that this is inappropriate content or something illegal may be happening. Now, the reason I feel sorry for FriendFeed employees is that that means there has to be someone at FriendFeed whose job it is to review this type of content all day long, take in the comments and stuff, and then delete it. So all the FriendFeed staff we know and love and we see, there's going to have to be someone there who spends their day checking these feeds and seeing this type of stuff. So it's something you don't think about when you start a social network, or it's something you don't think about when you start any type of communication platform, that eventually you will get to the stage where you have to employ a person whose job it is to filter out the worst activities of human nature.
Indeed. And with that, go ahead.
I just have just one last thing. We also have to consider, too, I believe in certain countries, certain type of speech is illegal. Holocaust denying, that type of thing is actually illegal in some countries. But I'm not sure if a Holocaust denial is actually illegal in the States. So there's a reverse of that, where in other countries, certain type of material is banned, certain type of speech or content is banned, but in the US law it's completely legal. So it's really is a minefield for FriendFeed to deal with, and I'm not sure how they're going to do it, and I don't know how much it's actually our responsibility as users to police this. So if we see something, is it our responsibility to make inquiries or report it to authorities, or is it specifically FriendFeed's because it's their service? It's sort of like getting a mode of operation for this type of thing.
Well, I think so far people have just been reporting it to the users as well as FriendFeed. I mean, what else can you do? I mean, I don't think it would, if this person is not even in America, just call the cops here in Houston about that, right? I mean, or even the FBI. I'm not an expert, obviously, but it seems like they're doing the right thing. Just let FriendFeed know. I mean, and then just do what you can to block and keep people from being able to see it. You know, don't link to it. So anyway, that it's a very serious topic, and now I'm going to move off of that into the realm of the rest of the show. Another topic that has come up in our friend feed is that there's a new version 2 of the API. There's a link in the chat room that just came out recently, and I guess Monday. And the API is basically a way for programmers to connect to FriendFeed for their applications, like Noise River, FF to go. Maybe that's a little bit different, but all these other applications that use FriendFeed, you know, have to have a way to connect to it and send commands to it, and you know, and all that stuff. I'm no programmer. Or anything, obviously, but apparently this is a big deal, and we want to let the programmers know that it's out there. And yeah, like for one thing, I guess instead of having to use the that special token key, you can use a separate type of authentication called OAuth, and that's apparently a big deal. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because I really have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to all that scripty stuff. And but that's okay. Yeah. Let he who hath understanding reckon.
I have no idea. I opened up the page, I saw the code, and my eyes glazed over and went, roop, 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 scripting junk stuff, roop, roop, roop.
Yep.
It had words in English that I knew, the combination of such, yeah. Brain went to mushy peas.
Yeah. So, moving on to things that we know a little bit more about. Well, actually, I don't know much about this next one, but maybe I don't know if Mr. Sean Haggis is still listening or available, but maybe he could dial in and shed some light on this. But he's getting everybody. Give me a call, Sean, if you have a second. We're going to talk about Sims 3. Apparently, it's become a big deal, and Sean is getting ready to call in. So if you check out the link while we're waiting here, Sims is a game that I've never played ever in my life, and that's okay. But, you know, but apparently it's a virtual world, a virtual life. You know, you have, like, homes and people in the homes, and you control, I guess, certain aspects of the people, and you can create characters, and then you watch how characters react to different situations you put them in. Okay, well, apparently you can create characters based on FriendFeed people, and that's what I think has been going on here. So I'll let Sean explain it a little bit better, but yeah. Do you know anything about Sims,
John? Yeah. Sorry. I thought we were waiting for Sean. I've played Sims Spectrum, SimCity, that type of stuff. I've tried Sims in the past. But for me, it's sort of like the World of Warcraft. It's very much a time suck, and I know that it's bringing me in. And there's certain things that I don't mind being a time suck, but stuff like Sims and Warcraft and everything like that, not too much. Plus, I was okay at Leisure Shoot Larry. I was all right at it. But,
Adding hello. Mr. Haggis. Hey, there he is.
How you guys doing?
Good. Can you up your volume just a little bit?
Yeah, hang on a second.
So, I was never really that good at Leisure Suit Larry. But, and Sims was the same thing. I just couldn't, the things I wanted to do with Sims when I was a young pup just wasn't, I didn't have the social skills to do so. So, yeah.
Nice.
I was unable to score with the virtual chicks.
Okay, is that better?
Just taking a sip. Yeah, a little bit. Just be enthusiastic, and we'll, as always.
Okay, how about that one?
Good. Okay. Everybody here, Sean?
I'm enthusiastic.
So, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think since, what, episode 13 or so?
Yeah. Do you have that number memorized?
I think so.
Did you put a plaque on your wall?
Hey, I was proud. That was the first podcast I was ever on.
I'm just kidding, dude. Now, you've been busy doing all kinds of cool stuff on your own before and since then. So, we got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, true. So you want to hear about the Sims project, huh?
Yeah, man. So what's going on with that? I mean, why did you get into Sims, and what made you think, I think this is your idea, right? Making it a friend feed thing?
Yeah, it was my whole brainchild, basically. Well, I've actually been playing the Sims like since the first one came out, including all the expansion packs and such. So when the third one came out, I was kind of playing around with it, but since I've already been through the other versions, I was getting a little bored with it, you know? I mean, it was still just the same old stuff, even with all the new features, but Anika posted that she was considering getting The Sims, and we started talking about it in our thread, and I mentioned that, you know, what would be a cool idea if we could all just like create ourselves in the program and then upload, and we can put friend feeders in the game instead of just these random like townies, is actually how we referred to them, just the random generated, you know, people in the game. So I was thinking, I was like, hey, that'd be a great idea for a room. You know, I could, you know, popularize it and, you know, post all kinds of stuff and stories and whatnot. So, I kind of started getting to work on it. I opened up the Sims, created myself, and like started taking screenshots and figuring out the best way to tell people how to do it. Since like, I know a lot of people were either new to the game or weren't familiar with those features and such. So I just kind of threw it together in like the span of like an hour and a half. And I was really surprised. And I'm actually really pleased at how popular it actually got, you know. We've got, I think, like maybe 40 subscribers in the room now, and we don't even have that many people playing. Most people just find it really interesting to like read the stories of friend feed encounters in the sim.
Yes, okay, 40 people in the room, but how many people are playing?
I think, and I can double check this while we're talking, I think we've got about 14 or 15 people that have submitted their sims. Which is pretty cool, actually, you know, especially like you can add them all into the town, into one household itself. Yeah, actually, it looks like we got more closer to almost 20 at this point. Some you know, really familiar names: Anna Billstrom, Yolanda, Mo Cargis, me and Christian, both Michelle and Joel Martinez. Somebody uploaded Michael Jackson, which I refuse to put in my town. Penguin, hey, of course.
That's ignorant.
There you go, Johnny. You've been waiting to use that. Is it still too soon? I don't know, man. Maybe.
Hey, it's all right with me. You know, I don't find offense to it, but, you know, whatever. But so far, it's been really cool. I like everything. And I came up with an idea just last weekend. Because, again, I was getting bored. I have very short attention span, if you haven't noticed already.
Who said that?
Sorry, what?
What are we talking about? I've already forgotten.
Hardy.
But I came up with an idea of putting, basically, choosing 7 of the different friend feeders that have submitted their characters to the room and put them in basically a mock-up of the real-world house, which, of course, includes gaudy decorations and, you know, way too expensive things, but yet, you know, single beds and, you know, rooms by themselves. So I'm trying to – what I'm doing with that particular instance of it is, instead of what I normally do in the Sims game, which is, you know, you can control your Sims, you know, to the very point of exhaustion, but I'm actually just letting them loose. I'm not telling them to do anything. I'm just seeing how their natural personalities will react to each other and the kind of situations that'll do, and I'm just taking screenshots galore and possibly even video. I haven't decided if I'm going to take it to that level yet, but
– well, when you say you're observing them, I mean, how – is it one of those things where, okay, you launch the program and you set things up and then you got to, like, say, go to work or, I don't know, live life throughout the day. Do you come back at the end of the day and things have changed?
No. This is all while I'm actually sitting there watching the game.
So it happens pretty fast?
Yeah, well, it's like the basically an hour in The Sims, I think, is maybe like 10 minutes in real world, or maybe even less than that. I mean, it goes pretty quickly. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
What?
It's sort of like live blogging.
Yeah, I guess in a way it is. Like, I'm basically recording people's actions, but they're not real people. They're just the personalities of people that they have submitted, which is funny itself. Some of them are pretty damn spot on. You'd be surprised. Mo Cargis apparently is really violent in real life because he keeps yelling and getting in fights with everybody in the game.
Well, he does live in Adelaide.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Okay.
Johnny has the drop on him. But what if the speed of the happenings. If someone gets pregnant, are they going to like have a baby in like a couple hours or something?
No, I think it actually takes, I think, maybe 4 or 5 sim days, like, you know, nighttime, daytime kind of thing. And there's actual, like, time shifts in the game. But you can't – of course, it goes much faster than it does real life, but it's pretty fast. And you can also change, as Joey just stated, the lifespan settings in the game where you can have your characters age a lot faster or you can have them age never, for that matter, both into the spectrums.
Well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, what if you wanted to create a character and he's like a player and, you know, and he or a playa, and he goes in and all he does is club every night and just go to bars and stuff. And then he could tear through, like, how many ex-girlfriends a night? I mean, you could rack them up like 40 girlfriends in one human evening's worth of Sims, right? I mean,
well, actually, no. The time passes a little fast for that. I mean, you can, if you wanted to, I'm sure you could get 3 or 4 in a day. And I'm going to tell this, and I'm sure my roommate's going to kill me for this. Luckily, he's not here to stop me. But he is the equivalent of the Sim Gigolo.
Okay.
He has made it his option, his mission to get every non-friend feed person in his town. He hasn't done it with any of the friend feed people yet. I think he says it's just too awkward, but he's trying to get every female sim in the game pregnant.
And is there a Sims Murray? Like, you are the father.
it's he doesn't even know. He's done it so much now that he doesn't even know which ones are his kids anymore. He has he has woohooed and married and divorced so many of the female Sims in the game that he has lost track of which ones are his illegitimate children.
Wow, I was totally kidding, and he's actually doing it.
He is doing it. In fact, I think his recent project was to get 2 female Sims to hook up, and I think he was successful at it. I eventually walked away in disgust, but, well, of course, after watching it a little bit, but...
Well, there's nothing really to see, technically, right? I mean, I've never played the game, so I have no idea how graphic the game is.
No, it's not explicit at all. In fact, everything, I guess, naughty is either blurred out or obscured from view. Like, when you woohoo, which is the sex version of The Sims, you actually, like, dive under the covers, and the covers all bounce and stuff, and little hearts come up on...
So, essentially, I was correct in my assessment that it's like Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, well,
And it's cool.
Okay. Yeah,
except that you don't have to put the you know, condom on before you have sex with the prostitute, and there's no diamond ring in the sink. So,
is there Sim Roof?
Those are obscure Leisure Larry jokes, by the way.
Okay, I was gonna say, where'd that come from?
is there Sim Roofies?
Sim Roofies? No, you can't get your characters drunk. I don't think that has any effect on the woohooing, though. Although I haven't tried. I'll have to ask Christian that question.
Okay. Have you heard about Alice and Kev?
Yes, yes. That is fascinating. In fact, that's part of actually what inspired me to do it in the first place was reading that blog. For those that aren't familiar with it, it's basically a Sims player had created 2 characters and made them homeless in the game and just started basically kind of what I'm doing with the real world, not really interacting with them, just kind of letting them be and, you know, act on their own, which the free will in the game is actually quite extensive. Like, they'll do everything without even you telling them. You know, most of the time they'll just end up playing video games for 8 hours straight. Which is kind of close to real life for me anyway, but the Kev thing was really cool because it's like this story of these homeless people and how they get by in this virtual world and how the other characters interact with them a bit. So it was kind of this fascinating psychological study that is kind of even translated over to our room. Like, there was a discussion, I think it was last week or a week before, about how this stuff in The Sims and playing The Sims is making us a little more motivated to do things in our real life. Like, we're starting to think, like, in The Sims, whenever you learn skills, you have these little, like, you know, learn meters up above your head that shows your progress. And you get bonuses for completing certain actions. You know, if you're you want to do something at your job or you want to throw a party, you get little mood bonuses for doing them. So, like, we've actually started, like, subconsciously started doing that in our own lives. Like, I'll be doing dishes and I'm like, oh, I get the clean room bonus now. So, you know, it's really kind of ridiculous how psychologically effective the game is. You know, if, like, you see your character die in The Sims, like, you actually have emotional attachment to it rather than just being a video game.
So is that like
you should get it on video?
Exactly.
So is that like in real life when I do something good, I want an Xbox Unlocked achievement?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It is. Like, you get bonuses and stuff, and it applies to your lifetime goals, and you have this kind of, like, reward queue that you can get specific personality traits added to them. Like, after a while, you can become really good at parties, or you get the discounts on food that you eat in town, or there's even ones that apply to just basic things, like you don't have to pee, or you're not that hungry as often, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And these, you get those by completing the specific rewards that your sim in the game wants to do.
So you actually have to manage the urination of your sim?
Sometimes, yeah. Most of the time, they'll do it on their own. They'll start, like, they'll wave and, like, you know, start bitching at the screen with the little toilet icon above their head, and they'll just run off and go to the bathroom on their own. They are known to piss themselves, though.
Is there an option for public urination?
No, unfortunately not. You have to use the toilet thing in the game.
That's disappointing.
Only to you, Johnny.
That's crazy. I mean, okay, so let's get into technical side of things here. So I think you are sitting on a gold mine with like a video type podcast or videocast, I guess, vidcast.
Maybe so, yeah.
If you could get, I don't know if you can run your thing in like a little window or something as opposed to full screen, but if you can, then you might be able to do, what's it called?
Screencast?
Well, there's some sort of screen capture software, and right. Then do your talking over it while it's going, you know?
That's a great idea, actually.
you have the voice, dude. You got the broadcast voice, so you could totally, like, pull it off. I would subscribe instantly.
That's a good idea, actually. I think I might just do that. That would be pretty interesting and just kind of moderate over what's happening in the room itself.
Yeah, well, as long as it's happening fast enough, I guess, then yeah. It would be okay to just record it real time. Otherwise, you're gonna have to record it in snippets and, you know, and then do a little editing, which is obviously more work. But
right,
dude, it would be awesome.
That's the thing with Big Brother in Australia. They have daily shows, so at 7 o'clock at night, they take the last day's footage and trim it together in a very tight package and just do a voiceover. So you could do sort of like a play-by-play, just what happened today, that type of thing.
I think Josh already said that he wants to be Julie Chen, though. So
that's right, dude. if you can create a Julie Chen in Sims, then that's fine.
Good evening, I'm Julie Chen. Welcome to Big Brother 10. But first, I'm Julie Chen.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Mrs. Chen, you look very beautiful tonight.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, like the hair tonight, Mrs. Chen.
Oh, thank you. Just for the record. But first.
Can you actually adjust the camera angles at which it shows?
Oh, yeah. That's quite extensive in the detail. Like, you can get right up on, like, profile shots, or you can get really scrolled back. If you go in the room itself, you can look at some of the screenshots, and you can see some of the camera angles that you can pull off. And they have, of course, the screenshot itself. And you can actually record videos, too, using the same tools.
You have to do it. As a soap opera style. So the looking, both looking one way off into the distance and, no, I'll never marry you, and...
Yeah, at least as a proof of concept, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can rotate it using the camera, the keyboard, or you can use the mouse. So, like, if I got it, you know, the keyboard controls, you know, well enough, I could probably do, you know, a slow pan around the characters and stuff. And you can actually center the camera on a specific character, so it'll actually follow them around the room, so I don't have to do anything. I can just rotate or, you know, adjust as please, or zoom in for that matter.
You could have the camera stay with Julie Chen and have Julie Chen just walk around pissing people off, because that's all she really does.
I can take her in. I can put her in the house and take her out at will, so that might be another option for her. But I was trying to go for more real world than a Big Brother thing, because I didn't want to have ridiculous physical challenges and stuff like that, because they don't quite have something like that in the game.
Then you could have Julie Chen's bratty child be the host. If she even has kids, I have no idea.
Wow. So a live stream of the real world's friend feed house. That would be really interesting to do. I think I might just take you up on that idea.
Well, yeah, either live or just recorded, you know, video that you publish.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing like, because originally I was just going to do as like TV guide recaps, like not actually have the entire episode, what happened, just have some screenshots and like the little blurb and stuff on there. But what I was thinking about doing too is recording short videos and making like, you know, commercial teasers like this week on The Real World and stuff like that, you know, have like dramatic music playing and, you know, characters screaming and getting in fights or whatnot, that is just as they are in the real world. Although I'll have to make them drink a lot more if I'm going to be more like that show.
Apparently, there's some pretty crazy things you can do with the characters. I saw some YouTube videos of what people post of what they make their characters do, and there was this one girl that I guess she had to pee so bad that she just peed on the floor,
yep.
And then she drowned in the pool of her own pee.
What?
Exactly. It's kind of like a WTF Sims website is like the whole point of it, but. And then these other two people just came and all they did was look and laugh or something. It was weird.
I wasn't aware of drowning in your own urine bit, but you can't piss yourself. That's quite easy to do.
Okay.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, toilets, wangs, poo, and urine. It's a Thundercats episode.
Whether it's real or virtual, we will be there.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Good times.
I think I'm actually going to go and get Sims 3 now.
Actually, you'd be surprised. I think we have convinced at least no less than 5 people to buy the game just on that room alone and the interactions from it. It's like been like Sims needs to start paying me some checks or something, because like I am getting them some sales right and left just with this room itself. Are you listening, EA?
I know, right? Where's the affiliate link for Haggis here?
Yeah, exactly. No kidding.
Well, do some research, man. Maybe you can.
I sent a Twitter to the Sims Twitter account, but they didn't respond or anything. I thought they'd find the idea interesting, but I guess not. But their loss.
Yeah, well. But cool, man. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot to jump on Skype and come and explain that.
No problem. Glad I could have a chance to. I know, Anna talked about it a bit on the Random Time Lords podcast. Shout out.
Nice.
Before, but I think both Amber and Steven were very much disinterested, so I'm glad I was able to come on this podcast and explain it a little better.
Is that the being polite way to say it? Very much disinterested?
Yeah, that's the best I can do.
It's the combination shout-out back in. Watch out!
Okay, well, you know. They have their topics, I guess, and that's not one of them. No, that's cool. All right, man, we'll let you go.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
All right, bye.
Peace. Yeah. See if I can do this without hanging up on everybody.
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Well, then let's move on.
Indeed.
Let's see. There were, besides my son's birthday this week, there was a friend feed birthday. There were a couple. I'm having a hard time remembering all of them, but someone help me remember. But I know that Alex Scoble had his. I'll post a link, and everybody can groan and go.
Why would you groan?
I'm just kidding. I just love to give him a hard time. Because
he's Monique's birthday as well.
Because he's Alex Scoble. Sorry, who? Monique? Oh, Monique. That's who it was. Happy birthday, Monique. Happy birthday, Alex, and everyone else whose post that I missed. Good time to be born, I guess. You know, July, so hot and stuff. Except it's cold in Australia, isn't it?
It is pretty cold, yeah.
And here we are talking about the weather. Okay. But
6 months ago, you guys were talking about freezing your little gentleman off, and I was in sweltering heat, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's role reversal. It's only in the spring and fall where we can kind of like hang together and be like, oh yeah, the weather's pretty nice.
As the world, no, that's my autumn, so everything's turning brown. So
that's what I mean. Fall and my spring and yeah, and your spring and my fall. You know, spring.
Except
summer,
we call
winter,
it,
oh, fall.
Except we call it autumn.
Autumn, fall, whatever.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Because I like saying autumnal. One of autumnal. My favorite words.
Look at this leaf on the ground. It is autumnal. Yes. An autumnal leaf.
I must put on a cardigan. It is autumnal.
And there's a thing called Autumn Leaves, a jazz tune, standard tune. So in Australia, if they played it, it would be called Autumnal Leaves. Or do you even pronounce leaves, leaves? Do you pronounce the H in leaves?
If there was one.
I will never stop giving you crap for that. Sorry, man.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thick-skinned.
Thick indeed.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
What? I'm just agreeing. E minor or G minor. See, Rob's ready to play it. Autumn Leaves ready? Two.
The falling leaves drift by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the sunburned kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold since you went away. The days roll on, and soon I'll hear old winter's song. But I miss you most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves start to fall.
Let's see. Next topic, and I don't have a link for it, but I don't know if you can help me find one, but Google Voice Mania. Everyone's getting a Google Voice number, including myself. I got one this past week, and by this past week, I mean yesterday, I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, so Google Voice, so far it's kind of cool. Have you got one yet, John? Sore topic?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have one yet?
I can't. I don't think I can. I'm in Australia.
They won't let you?
I'm pretty sure it's US only.
Or you'll be able to sign up for it with your email address, but they'll smack you down when you try to hook up an Australian number.
Well, I've signed up for it, and I've heard someone else who's signed up from the another country, and they sent him an invitation, and then he clicked on the link, and it said, "Oh yeah, sorry, no."
Okay, well, I think Stephen Perez actually put it best that everyone's just freaking out over voicemail. I guess that's one way to put it. I mean, I'm trying to figure out myself what it can do more than that. I don't like the grammar of that, but anyway, to see what the killer app is for Google Voice. So
easy. I've got one this morning,
but it's only been a day.
No, I've got one this morning. I was, my nephew has recently got a basketball, right? He plays basketball on Saturday mornings. He needed to put a phone number on his basketball in case he lost it. Now, is he going to put his home phone number on there? He's only 9 years old. If I can give him a number that has no ties to me at all, or ties to him or our family at all, but is still a callable number.
Right.
It's a way of getting communication without having to give out your phone number. You go out, you meet people, you give them that phone number so they don't have to call you. There's no real geeky, techie way for Google Voice. It's a real-life application.
Okay. For me, all I've used it for is free SMS and transcribing a voicemail. So, like, if someone leaves me a vocal message, it'll try to transcribe it, although some of them are pretty funny because it doesn't do a, 100% job. But the free SMS is kind of nice because if you're sitting at a computer, even though you have your phone with you, why not do the SMS, you know, at the comfort of your computer in an easy way. And the Google Voice inbox is kind of like Gmail. You know, you have an inbox and you see things that came through and it organizes it well. And you can just type replies back and so forth. Depending on your plan for your cell phone plan, you may have to pay for your SMSs or certain or for any SMS that goes over a certain number. Like for me, I only get 200 a month with my plan. That's, I pay $5, I think, to AT&T for that privilege. And if I go over that, I pay whatever the going rate is. Mm-hmm. It's either that or $20 for unlimited. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's really necessary. I don't use it that much. But I do know that I went through at least 30 or so messages just yesterday from all the Google Voice testing, because a lot of times it has to break up the message into like maybe three SMS messages, and then next thing you know, you're burning up your data minutes, whatever you want to call it, your message count. So that's something to watch out for, I guess.
And I made a post about it earlier in the week. The fact that you guys pay to get text messages freaks me out. Hey,
is it free for you guys?
Well, no. In Australia, it costs money to ring someone, or it costs me money to send a message to someone. It doesn't cost that person anything to receive that message.
Mm.
So I guess it's a difference in philosophies. Here, it's if I pay for the ability to use a phone, whereas you guys pay for the ability to receive to have use of a phone. If you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. You send or receive, depending on your plan, again.
Yeah.
Some plans are free incoming calls. But, yeah, most of the time it's when you're using your phone, period, it's using your minutes.
Okay.
But for me, minutes is not that big of a deal. The one good thing about AT&T is they inherited Singular's rollover plan when they bought Singular. And so now I have like 3,000 rollover minutes left over since January. So it's – I just don't talk much on the phone.
Here's the thing that I think about now with Google. I made a blog post about this about a year ago, I think now, or when Google Chrome first came out. You now have Google Talk, where you can do voice over IP. You have the Google voice number, where you can get messages now and text messages. You have Gmail, which handles all your email. You've got Android, which goes on your phone. You could have the Chrome OS going on to netbooks and stuff like that. You've also got Google Apps. It's going towards the area where Google is like Microsoft, where everything to do with your business can be run by Google. So how long until Google Voice, GTalk or GChat or GTalk on your standalone client or Google's Gmail integrates Google Voice, so you can have the same things that Skype has.
Rock on.
So, GTalk. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. No.
GChalk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I'm just thinking that it's now. If we can have all this service integrated onto one device or one platform, we're looking at a total office on my computer.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's going to get interesting, I think, over the next 12 to 18 months, right?
Yeah. Well, and if anything, when you sign up for something and you have to leave a phone number, just chuck this number on, and you don't get spammers calling your home phone number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you make applications to banks and stuff. Just chuck this number on.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that I forgot to mention the other cool thing about Google Voice is that you can have it so that, you know, you give out that number instead of your regular number, right? And people call that number, and it rings whichever phone you want. And when you pick it up, that person that's calling, Google Voice already answered it for them and said, mm-hmm. "Who are you?" They get to say their name, and then it plays back their name to you in your ear, you know, in case you don't know who they are, doesn't show up on the caller ID. So that's kind of cool. It might be something you don't want to have, but I think you can turn it off. But that's kind of cool.
And how much does this cost?
So far, $0.00 and cents.
There you go.
Yep, that's the killer app right there, right?
Yeah, it's free.
We'll see how they monetize it later. Next topic is another friend feed feature. It actually came out just tonight, this afternoon, I guess, 6 hours ago, according to the timestamp. It is from friend feed's Brett Taylor, as he's usually one to announce the exciting changes at friend feed. This has to do with friend recommendations. And we talked about this maybe a couple episodes ago, and we were like, oh no, I hope they don't do this where they have automatic recommendations like Facebook does, mm-hmm. you know, where they have some sort of algorithm saying, well, you know, this guy has same number of friends as you, same friends as you, maybe up to 3 or 4 people, so why don't you be their friends? And then it's kind of in your face, and they try to fool you into clicking confirm when it's not really a friend request. And we're like, no, don't do that to friend feed. Well, they didn't. They did it the right way, I think, by having a recommend friends link where you go in and do it yourself. It's user-driven. So mm-hmm. Basically, I can take a look at all the subscribers that are subscribed to me, and it'll tell me how many people they're subscribed to. So, like, you know, there might be somebody who only has 2 subscriptions, and I'm one of them. Then I can go and say, hey, you should go get some friends. These people are really cool. Maybe you've seen them on My Friend of a Friend. Here they are. Bam. What I did today is I took the time and I made a list of people I would recommend. And so I'm just going to like choose that list mm-hmm. and use that as my recommendations for people that I think might need some.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an idea. Because it does let you do that by list. You don't have to choose every single person every single time, you know?
And you could... You know how you... hang on. Let me just get my train of thought back.
It's like my recommended list.
I think it's good also, too, that you have to be subscribed to the person and they have to be subscribed to you. So it's not just like you can go through a bunch of people and just randomly recommend people to a whole bunch. I think they have to be subscribed to you and you have to be subscribed to them, I believe.
I'm not sure if you have to be subscribed to them, but... they need to be subscribed to you. I'm pretty sure it's just that one way kind of a thing, but okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Cause I know that, I know if they're not subscribed to you, you can't recommend a friend to them.
No. And you can't DM them. And the same thing with DMs. It only needs to be one way. They need to be subscribed to you for you to be able to DM them.
Okay. Yeah. But I think it's a good feature. I would like, I think it was back in the beta. They had that people you may know setting where you could click on it and you could see a group of people who you were subscribed to, or that your friends were subscribed to. Was that it? Yeah, it was something on the toolbar where you could click on it and it would say, this person is subscribed by this amount of friends.
Well, yeah, you can see anybody's subscriptions.
But there was actually a feature where you could click on it, and it said, it's so long ago that I can't remember it, that a list of recommended users or these people are popular amongst your friends. That was it. And I had like a list of 16 or 17 people that were based on the people you're subscribed to. If they're subscribed to that person but you're not, that sort of gets aggregated together and gives you a list similar to the recommendation. Yeah, these people are popular. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not making much sense. But the way that hang on.
That was the old recommended. I don't think it's like that anymore, right?
Yeah. But, hang on. Cole has just given me a link. Ah, oh, there you go. It's already there. It's under friendfeed.com/friends/search.
Oh, recommended search for friends. Oh, okay. Yeah.
These folks are popular amongst your friends. You might know them. I actually think that's a really good feature.
It is still there. Okay.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You have to dig for it. So.
Yeah, it's not in your face like it used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as it... also, too, I haven't had a chance to play with it.
That's what she said.
Okay.
just all of a sudden it goes silent. I'm like, oh, great.
No, it's just like I just had a thought in my brain and then you said that and then it disappeared.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Can you recommend rooms?
Yes, because a room is just a feed or a subscription. I noticed that when I was making my list of people to, you know, recommend, and all my groups that I'm subscribed to are in there.
Yeah, because I know you can't. I know unless you can't really invite a person to a room unless you're an admin. Is that right? If you're not an admin of a room, you can't send invitations to people. Is that correct?
I think you can.
Okay. See, I'm failing at friend feed right now. Failing dismally. We'll take a quick break and talk about our sponsor, Moo Cards. Great little service. I love Moo Cards. I have several Moo Cards. They are a ton of fun. On the top of our page, there's a link to Moo.com. That's our affiliate link. If you guys go through and you make a purchase, we get a small percentage of that. Proceeds go to help funding the show. If you can help us out, that'd be great. We use it. We recommend them, so we recommend them to you. So, Moo Cards, awesome.
It's okay. Awesome. So let's see. We were talking about Google Voice, and we finished. And then we talked about FriendFeed recommending friends, and we're done. So, shall we move on to our picks?
Indeed we shall. Would you like to go first, sir?
Sure. My pick of the week was a choice. That selfish choice, I guess. You know, it's my pick. I do whatever I want. And, of course, I wash my hands. it's from Akiva. And he posted about a Mac Mini that he got recently as an entertainment system. And as many people know, the Apple TV is out there. And there are some complaints about it that it can't quite handle the amount of video that most people would want to throw at it. But if you get a Mac Mini, which is almost the same size, form factor, and so forth, but more expensive, you can still run software that will, you know, entertainment software like Boxy or XBMC, or I don't know, I'm sure there's other stuff that Mac people know about that I don't, that you can run on a Mac Mini.
Front row,
there you go. And then it plugs via various adapters into your HDMI port on your HDTV, and everything looks awesome. Akiva reports that it is working well. I sent him a 1080p file to test it with, and he said it worked smoothly. Mm-hmm. And so I chose this as my pick of the week because I had to clear something up that I guess I may have gotten confused on the last home entertainment home theater episode that we had. The Apple TV and the Mac Mini, they're not the same thing. I think I may have misinformed people about the Mac Mini. I think I may have told people that it only went to 720p, but apparently that's just the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. But the Mac Mini can handle the 1080p, depending on, I guess, how much, you know, RAM and fun stuff the CPU that you choose to put in it, throw in there. But
it's also important too, the codec it's encoded in, so it tends to chew through H.264 pretty easily. But other stuff, it just depends on how hard it presses the graphics process.
Good point. So I look forward to, you know, more posts about how he's got his entertainment. I've been following, you know, him setting up his entertainment center. He recommended the Harmony One remote, and I fell for it, and I totally got it. And I'm enjoying it, but I'm also a little frustrated with it. But we don't have to get into all that detail, I guess, right now. But I just haven't gotten it fully programmed the way I really want it yet.
And also too, there's a USB stick you can buy. I'm not entirely sure of its name, but it's actually a H.264 processor. And it's a little USB stick that you can plug in the back, and not only does it help when you encode and rip DVDs, like it speeds it up, it actually helps with decoding as well. Mm-hmm. So you can just Google online for a H.264 encode USB stick, and I think it comes up. There, I've had an experience with that on my iMac at work, and it seems to work okay.
Awesome. Yeah, apparently, according to Akiva, the Mini has the same graphics processor as MacBook Pro. Mm. So that's saying a lot right there. You know, I mean, because we know that's pretty heavy duty. You should be able to plug in your MacBook Pro into an HDTV, and people have been doing that, and it's been running fine. So I imagine it should be the same. So, okay, cool. That's my pick. How about cool. you?
All right, my pick came in yesterday. It's 11 hours ago, yesterday for me. You want to fight about it? It's from Chris Perillo. And on Sunday, which will be 2 days for me, 1 day for you, he is building the Lego Death Star with Mona, and the event will be streamed.
Oh, that's so awesome. They're finally getting together.
Now, this is something that she sort of flagged all the way back in September last year. When Chris posted that he had it, and Mona made the bluff that she would come out and build it with him, and Chris is like, I don't think she really is as bold as to accept donations to actually go out and do it. Well, Mona basically called his bluff, and she's going to do it, and that's awesome. Because I've looked on Chris's live.prillo.com last night. And I'm like, what's that on his desk? That's got minifigs on it. It's not, is it? And then there's the big box with the Death Star on it. And then I've gone, oh, I better check. So I go onto friend feed. Then bang, I'm doing it with Mona. I'm constructing the Lego Death Star with Mona on Sunday. I'm like, oh, mind blown.
Don't you wish you could be there, or just, you know? I guess you can with the streaming.
I'd be there, grab the box, run out the door going,
One of these days, we'll have to stream when you and I finally get to get together and build some Lego.
Mm-hmm. Well, pained me yesterday. $550 Brisbane to Los Angeles.
How much?
$550.
American?
Australian. So that's about... about $400 American.
That's cheap, dude. What the heck?
That's one way, though. So.
Oh, okay. Well, not. Well, still.
And I'd have to bring Rachel as well, so double that again, and Georgia. So we're looking at about $3,000 or $4,000.
Oh,
but
well, now you're making it complicated.
I'm saving. I'm saving pennies. Ferreting away money. I have made this promise to myself. Oh, I made it to Rachel, but it was really to myself, that by the end of next year, the Worthingtons will visit Lego World in San Diego.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm. So we're ferreting away the pennies. That is our big adventure, and maybe I will make it, say, up to San Francisco, maybe to Los Angeles, maybe to a few other places, but. We will see how the budgets and timing allow. But yes, it's the sticker is on the wall. We're going to Lego World. The Griswolds. My father has nicknamed our family the Griswolds because whenever we used to go away, we used to pack up the car and everything like that. So yeah, the mini Griswolds are off to Lego World.
Awesome.
We have to go to the Twit Cottage. We'll drive to Petaluma and go and see the Twit Cottage.
That would be cool. And it's kind of just bizarre to me that I used to live in that area and drive and work and do stuff in Petaluma and other places around there. Two of my sons were born in Vallejo, right across mm-hmm. the bay there. So it's like, and now it's like one of the tech, you know, podcasting meccas. And I left at the wrong time. Anyway, good times, man. I didn't realize that about Chris and Mona finally making the Death Star thing together. That kind of sounds awkward. But
the question is, will she be doing her washing up while doing it? Because she's known for doing the washing up while doing other things, like, I don't know, doing a podcast.
It'll be so awesome. She'll be doing everything a mile a minute. You'll see. And Chris is no chump. He's going to be going a mile a minute himself. You know what I mean? It's going to be complete chaos at 30 frames a second.
I'm looking forward to the fight who gets to put the minifigs together.
Because
there is a butt ton of minifigs in that thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of peeps that need to run the Death Star. It's not going to run itself. You know what I'm saying?
Independent contractors.
Death Star is run by independent contractors. We're almost to the point where we need a moment of win anyway.
We do.
We should just pick one real quick and just go. It's getting worse. See, I told you we needed to pick one and go. I told you. See, now it's just like, why are we here? Oh, geez.
I would be accepting of the Johnny wants to play with Perullo's minifig. I like that one.
Talk about context. That's like super meta, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No one's
gonna... It is the moment of win, after all.
That's right. Like, since when was that a problem? All right. Let's do it. Johnny wants to play with Perillo's minifig. Let's see what Chris says about that.
Make sure I post it to the correct room today.
So he totally like fixed it, like went into the database all manually and stuff and fixed it for you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. I want that login. I could totally mess with people's heads with that login.
I don't want to do that ever again. just to let everyone know, last week, accidentally posted my picture of a naked Harry Potter into the friend feed feedback room in Thundercats room.
Now that's a moment of win that you were not expecting. Good thing the friend feed team has a sense of humor.
He's like, oh, sorry.
And then you posted a facepalm Autobot or something. That was funny. All right, so Gold Leader standing by with you want to win?
Minifig standing by. Little, fat, mini, bearded person. I love you, Chris Perillo. Let me play with your Lego.
Cole. This is Cole's first live show, man. We got to explain it.
Oh, okay. So what we do is we take a statement from the show and then we flourish that. We all post that statement at the same time. And then your individualism comes with flourishing that statement with a picture or a funny image to differentiate itself from everyone else. So there will be – the home feed will basically be full of Johnny wants to play with Perillo's minifig. And how you do that is up to you.
Yeah, it's just a way of posting at the same time. You know, when we had our first episode of this show, we were like, wouldn't it be cool if we all posted something at the same time? We were like, yeah, man, that'd be cool, man. And then we're like, okay, let's think of something. We're like, okay, man. And so we posted it, and it was fun. And then the next week we did it again. The next week we did it again. And then people started blocking us. And then we started doing live, and people started posting with us. And then more people started blocking. And then it was just like, dude. So, yeah, that is the evolution of the moment of win. This is a worldwide, global, from Australia to London, countdown, moment of win. We are unified as one. Here we go in 3, 2, 1, post. Hey, Cole's there. His first moment of win. He did it. Yay. Oh, whoa. Perez, what the hell? Oh, my gosh. That exists? I guess rules 34, right? Or whatever that number
Seriously,
is.
Seriously, I don't know how I got onto it, but I got onto midgetgoatporn.com today.
Oh, dude, did you see World of Higlet's post? Oh, my gosh. That's Johnny. That's awesome. Did you see it?
I think Micah did that a couple of days ago.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Because I made a post. I wish there was like a...
Yeah, plush, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. And I don't know what the hell Akiva was posting. I guess he was in a different... Google search at the time. That is not even close to what we're talking about. And yet so full of win. Hey, there's Chris. if we tagged it like that with just, you know, pound MOW every time, then every week's moment of win would be jumbled together. So, yeah. Chris is either pleased or not pleased. Either way, he is here. Let us tie up the show with a nice little bow. Thank you for joining us this week on Thundercats. We are Johnny Worthington and Josh Haley, and I can be found. I'm Josh. I can be found at friendfeed.com/Josh Haley.
I can be found at friendfeed.com/J Worthington. And just to be confirmed, we are indeed two separate people.
Yes. It would be really difficult for me to change accents so quickly and quality of microphone. No offense.
And not to mention our wives and subsequent children.
Yeah, that could be duplicated maybe somehow, you know. But, yeah, and we can be emailed still at thundercats@gmail.com. That's two Fs for awesome. Mm-hmm. And... for now, I updated the podcast room phone number. You can leave us a voicemail on my Google Voice account for now until we get another one for the Thundercats specifically, and I'll tie that to our Skype account, and that should be like a way to actually call into the show from your phone. So how cool would that be? It would be actually kind of weird because you wouldn't really be participating in the chat room or the live broadcast if you're out and about on your phone, but still... the technology is there, and that's why we're happy about it.
Well, as soon as I get my invitation, I will forward it to you.
Well, yeah, sorry about that, man. The Land Down Under just can't catch a break sometimes.
It's all good.
Some of the prettiest women in the world seem to come from Australia, so you never know. It's a wash. Don't forget to support Thundercats by supporting our sponsor, and our sponsor is Moo Cards. You could go directly to Moo.com, and that would be cool for them, but it wouldn't help us. If you go to our website, Thundercats.com, that's two Fs, and click through on our link, it is an affiliate link. You know what those are. We know what those are. They give us a little bit of change every time you buy something from Moo, and we appreciate that. So until we get another sponsor, that's who it's going to be, and we love Moo Cards anyway. And why haven't you gotten yours yet? I'm talking to most of the people, not you. I know you've got some, I got some, we have some. And we paid for them, too. It's not like that, where they, you know, payola or anything. We don't have that much clout at all, really. Okay, well, that this episode is out of the bag. Ding, ding, ding. Welcome, everybody, to the Thundercats podcast, and that sucked.
Keep that rolling. Sucked. I love it.
Welcome, everybody, to the 39th episode of the Thundercats with Sylvester Stallone, or Sylvester the Cat. Oh, well, that sucked, too. Ready?
He's gone a very long time. I'm very nervous. I can hear him come back. Please come back soon. What is he doing? Is he still there? He's taking a very long time. I wonder if it's Gouda or Parmesan.